here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 2nd of September, 2009. It was on this day, 1901, in St. Paul at the Minnesota State Fair, that Teddy Roosevelt gave a speech and uttered his famous phrase, "Speak softly and carry a big stick," which he said was a proverb from West Africa. Probably picked it up from his reading. Teddy Roosevelt read a book a day even after he became president. In 1901, he was vice president under McKinley. He was on a speaking tour, spoke at the Minnesota State Fair, and just 4 days later, at a public reception in Buffalo, New York, McKinley was shot in the stomach by an anarchist. After a couple of days, it looked as if the president would recover, so Roosevelt took off on a hiking trip with his family in the Adirondacks. But McKinley died on September the 14th, and less than 2 weeks after his famous speech in St. Paul, Teddy Roosevelt was president at the age of 42, the youngest in our history. It's the anniversary of the beginning of the Great Fire of London. 1666, at 1 o'clock in the morning, fire broke out in a bakery on Pudding Lane. Most of the buildings in London were made out of wood thatched roofs built one up close next to the other. It had been a dry, hot summer. People were still thinking about the Great Plague, which had devastated the population for 2 years. The baker's name was Thomas Farriner. One of his workers woke up to the smell of smoke, woke everyone else up, went up to the roof, and escaped by climbing onto the roof next door. In 1666, there was no fire department. People took care of fires themselves, and they might tear down adjacent buildings to make a fire break. So when the Great Fire broke out, people called in the Lord Mayor of London to ask permission to tear buildings down, but he didn't think it was that big a deal. The diarist Samuel Pepys was awakened by his maid at 3 a.m. to tell him about the fire, and he wrote in his journal, "So I rose and slipped on my nightgown and went to her window and thought it to be on the backside of Mark Lane at the farthest, but being unused to such fires, I thought it far enough off and so went to bed again and to sleep. But a few hours later, she woke him up again and told him that 300 houses had been destroyed." Pepys saw that it was a great fire now, so he went straight to the King and the Duke of York, and they authorized tearing down buildings for fire breaks, but by that time it was too late, the fire was spreading. London was in chaos, and mobs were forming, convinced that someone had set the fire on purpose, probably the French, maybe the Catholics. It burned from the early hours of Sunday through Thursday, and when it had finally run its course, 373 acres of the city had been burned, and 1/6 of the residents were homeless. Here's a poem for today by Mark Perlberg, Real Estate. How odd to look across the way and note the Hymans, neighbors for a generation, are gone. Strange not to see a glimmer of light in any window as I pass by, or Ida, bent and wiry, climbing her stoop with a bag of groceries, or tending the doctor, neatly dressed, asleep in his chair, on the porch, his light dimmed by a succession of strokes. I was shocked when Ida called to say she sold the building, 2 stories high, smooth gray brick, solid as a bank. Then, one day, the big truck came, 30 years gone, just like that. A poem by Mark Perlberg, Real Estate, from Waiting for the Alchemist, published by Louisiana State University Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, creators of the Chicago Poetry Tour, a virtual tour of the history of modern poetry featuring archival recordings, photographs, and music. You can find it online at poetryfoundation.org. Edited by Noah Smith and written by Betsy Alistair. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.